The Andy Finn Show is back, and tonight we are talking about Ruth Finn, my mother, who died 25 years ago today, December 15th, 1980. And I want to close about Mom with a couple of stories about how she dealt with her last few months. And she was an amazing woman, and of course, when you have a remarkable person, that doesn't change just because they go through a tough time. So she faced her mortality, and her main concern was for my dad, because my dad was partially disabled the last 20 or 30 years of his life. After the carbon monoxide accident, he had a couple of neurological issues and just needed a lot of help to get through normal tasks sometimes. And so Mom was mostly worried about what would happen to Dad after she was gone. And so that she was thinking of him, not herself, as she got closer to her own death. And let's listen to a conversation I had earlier with my ex-wife, Linda, a remarkable woman in her own right, who, as I say, we took care of Mom in her last months, mostly due to Linda's altruism and love of my mother. But this is the story of Mom's last joke, and it was a doozy.
And Ruth was not talking at the time when we were taking care of her, and at that time she was saying very little, unable to. And they brought the casseroles, and Ruth, with her wonderful dry humor, said, "Dry run."
Yes, I...
Because after someone dies, they bring casseroles,
well, and
you know?
I wish I could remember the woman's name, because
yeah.
she called those obituary dishes. And so Mom, when she first moved down there, was fascinated. This woman got a casserole over to this family the same night that the person died. And Mom was over at her house once and said, "How did you do that?" And the woman opens her freezer and she says, "I always keep two or three obituary dishes in the freezer." And Mom, you know, that appeals to her sense of organization.
And her dry sense of humor.
Well, then, of course, what happened was we were all sitting around her bed, and you've heard this story before, but, I mean, you were just telling it to me, but I'm telling you more detail, because I remember it very clearly. Mom was so weak, and she hadn't spoken in at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And she was weak, but we held our conversations around her bed, so we moved chairs into the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and instead of being in the living room where we had been, we conversed in front of her so that she could at least have the, you know, be aware we were there, assuming she was still with it enough to know. And so the doorbell rings and I go out front and there's, I'll call her Thelma, I can't remember her name, but there's Thelma with dinner for that night for us as a nice surprise, including dessert. So I put it away and I go back and I say, "Hey, guess what? Thelma came over with dessert." And Mom hadn't spoken in over 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And she pipes up, "Must be a dry run."
Yeah.
And we all, first we broke out laughing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know that we cried, but I felt like crying because the realization was there that she was cracking jokes about her own death.
Yes.
And she...
Yeah.
She wasn't that far from me. We didn't even know if she could hear us.
Mm-hmm.
And she pipes up and cracks a joke. Well, that was Mom's last joke, and like I say, it was an amazing moment. She came out with a lot of good one-liners, and that may be the best. She saved the best for last. The next clip is Linda, my ex, reminding me of the story of the sign of the cross, and this was Mom and a friend who... when they were talking about, the friend said, do you think there's life after death? And somebody said it, and Mom said, "Yes, I know there is, and I'll send you a sign when I get there." So let's listen to Linda tell the story of the sign of the cross.
What I remember, too, though, and this is a very close connection I have with Bridget, Ruth and a friend of hers, and I can't remember her name right now, it's in my notes, they had talked about, "Do you really think there's life after death?" "Yes, I really do, and if I die first, I'll send you the sign of the cross. Well, when we were planning Ruth's memorial in Florida after she died,
right,
Maureen was there, and they wanted Maureen to carry the cross in the procession. And Bridget and I looked at each other, and we burst out crying because
right,
that was the cross, you know, that her friend, Ruth's friend, would know. They had said, you know, well, will the cross be in the driveway or whatever? You know, what'll it be? What'll the sign be? And the sign was that Maureen, who's devoted her life to Christ, you know, to caring for people, she would carry the sign of the cross. And Maureen and Bridget and I looked at each other and burst out crying.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Because that was the sign of the cross that she was, Ruth was sending to her friend.
That is a good story. And I have one more to close with. Mom used to talk at family gatherings about death. You know, we'd be sitting around in the evening, and the kids were kind of faded into the background. Some of them were in bed, but the adults were sitting there talking and getting philosophical. And Mom would often start talking about what she wanted for her funeral. She wanted to make sure everybody knew how she wanted to die and be buried. And my dad would get upset because Ruth, I don't want you talking about that. Because he didn't want to think of losing her. And this went on, I mean, this started probably 20 years before she died, maybe 30. She just talked freely about the concept of dying. And she would always say, they're spending too much money on funerals. You know, somebody would have died in the previous few months, and somebody paid thousands of dollars for a funeral or a casket. And Mom thought that was ridiculous, that you pay a lot of money to go out of the world. And she said, when I get buried, I want to be buried in a pine box, a plain pine box. She said, buy the cheapest thing you can get. She said, if they'd let me get buried in a cardboard box the way we bury the birds or the cats, because we would have a parakeet that would die and we'd put them in a cracker box. We'd have a cat that would die and we'd put them in a shoe box and bury them out back on the farm. Mom said, if it was legal in the state to get buried in a cardboard box, I'd do that. And so I just remember that story for years. She's told that story more than once, multiple times over a period of 20 years, so I knew exactly what she wanted. Well, my mother was somebody who planned ahead, as we've talked about, and she was frugal. So she had bought certificates with the Volusia County Cremation Society, a private company that guaranteed cremation for a certain price. So if you died anywhere in Volusia County, this is it's in the Daytona Beach area and south in Florida, they would pick up the body, cremate you, all for $149.95 or whatever the price was. I think that's about what they paid. And so Mom bought that for herself and for Dad. And when she died, she cashed in. And so the Volusia County Cremation Society came and picked up the body at the nursing home where she ended up the last few days. And she was cremated. And we were, meanwhile, doing a memorial service for her down there. And then we were going back to Rochester for a second memorial service with old friends and family. And on the way out of town, it was our job to pick up the Mom's ashes. And I had dealt with the death certificate and gone to deal with a variety of those kinds of things, the details of it all. And the last thing, going out of town, we had a caravan of at least two cars. I forget if there were three cars. Might have been two. We stopped in Daytona Beach at the headquarters of the Volusia County Cremation Society to pick up Mom's ashes. So I go in to deal with the transaction because I'd been talking to the guy. And I get in there and he starts giving me a sales pitch. And they have these urns there. Her ashes were in a square box, about 7 inches by 7 inches by 7 inches, a cube. And it had a tight cover that fit over. It's two boxes that fit together. And I was surprised because I think of ashes as being a small vial or something. you know. And so I actually opened it up and looked at it, and there's chunks of bone and stuff like that inside. It's a lot of the person's body that's left. And so he's given me a sales pitch. Meanwhile, they make these urns, silver and gold, that hold this box exactly. They have a square opening and a door on the front. And I don't know if it was $300 for the silver and $400 for the gold or whatever it was. But whatever it was, he was saying, now, you'd want the best for your mother, wouldn't you? And I said, well, I don't think I'm interested in either of those. Now, come on, wouldn't your mother want? And I turned to the guy and I said, I picked up the cardboard box and I says, no, she actually wanted a cardboard box, and this is exactly what she wanted. She's got it right here. And I walked out, and the guy kind of looked at me funny, but I walked out knowing that Mom got to be buried in her cardboard box. And she got the last laugh because she ended up not even having to pay for the pine box that she didn't want to even pay for. So I've always thought about that and always loved her for that story, because I kind of feel the same way about when I go out. Spend as little as possible and blow the rest on a party. And that's exactly what she wanted people to do. She wanted people to have a party. And so when we got to Rochester, that put a damper on Christmas of 1980, because this would have been about December 20th, 21st, 22nd. We were headed to Rochester. And then we planned, I think her memorial service in Rochester was December 27th. Maybe it was 28th, but right after Christmas. And so after the memorial service, after the Mass and memorial for Mom at Holy Trinity Church, where she spent most of her life and where most of her kids got married and all of that, we went back down to Tim's house, and we had the party that she envisioned. And it was early in the day, but it was, you know, like noon or 1 o'clock, but I'd been a bartender at that time, full-time bartender, so I was a professional. And so I was in charge of mixing the drinks, and her friends all took her up on the idea of having a party. And so we fulfilled that wish for Mom as well. And so I guess the last thing I want to say about all this is that Ruth Finn was an amazing woman and one of the greatest mothers anybody could ever ask for. And so I just want to bid a fond remembrance to my brothers and sisters out there and to anyone else who has lost a parent. She died 25 years ago today, December 15th, 1980. And Mom, I know that you're looking down on us because you promised that you would. And I hope that mostly what I've done with my life and what my brothers and sisters have done pleases you. And you've gotten a kick out of the silly things we've done. And you've forgiven us for the things we've done that don't meet with your approval. Because I know you have, because that's the way she was. She could tell you when she wasn't happy with you, but there was never any hint that it was anything but unconditional love. She never broke off a relationship with any of the 8 children because of their behavior. I didn't get married in the Catholic Church, and I got married on our front lawn, and she accepted that. She didn't get upset. She knew that my wedding would be the way I wanted it. She was disappointed, but she let her kids live their lives. And boy, if you can get that from your parents and unconditional love, you're doing well. So, once again, my hat's off to Ruth Finn, my mom, on the anniversary of her passing. I love you, Mom.